Could I ask him a question? Oh.
Brad Berry, off of the chair, I was going to take over.
Okay. Mr. Landry, of the 618 days in delay, how many of those days are attributable to the clerk addressing the issue? In your letter, you state that the recordation of partial release was delayed by the Acadia Parish clerk. How many of those 618 was due to that?
I don't know. Not many.
Was it substantial? No.
No. The building was not aware that a problem existed until they got the letter from the state in early 2017. By that point, most of that 618 days had already gone by.
Okay. So you acted pretty quickly once you got the notification.
Yes. Within a couple of weeks, a partial release was executed.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
Let me ask a question. How do you come up with a $60,000 penalty for such a small tract of property?
It's a $100 a day assessment until the lease is released.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Yes. When you say it's a small company, what do you mean? Tell us how small it is.
Sylvan probably has less than a dozen employees. It's a tiny little company.
How many leases? How many wells do you operate? How many leases?
How many what? I didn't hear you.
How many leases do they operate? How many?
Well, Sylvan, honestly, I don't know. Not more than a handful. Sylvan is a solely owned entity by Trimont. Trimont has more wells, many more wells, but Sylvan is a different entity, and I'm not that familiar with Sylvan, to be quite honest.
And another question. This is the second infraction, correct?
Correct.
The first one, was it 100% waiver?
100%, $10,600.
And how long ago was that? 10 years ago?
It was on January the 13th, 2010.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff recommendation according to our board protocol.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Secretary Harris. Do we have further discussion or any other questions from the public or for Mr.
I do. I have another question. You said that Sylvan is a part of another company?
Yes.
And what company is that?
Trimont.
Does Trimont have any leases with the state?
It has, yes, it does.
Is it a small company?
Well, in terms of...
As opposed to Sylvan, is it a small company?
Trimont probably only has a dozen employees as well. But they do operate a lot more wells.
And they operate in other states besides this state?
No.
Or do you know?
No, Trimont doesn't. Sylvan, well, Sylvan was originally located in Pittsburgh, and they had financial problems, and basically everybody in the Pittsburgh office was fired, and a new management team took over. They set up office in New Orleans, and pretty much the same thing happened with that group, and now they're run by a group in Houston, which is a very small group.
Any further questions? I'll recognize her in just a minute, but I just want to make sure that the board has answered their questions. All right. Miss, if you would please come forward and state your name for the records so that we can hear your question also.
My name is Teresa Wood, and I just would like for him to read the letter out loud.
appreciate it, but I think we all have a copy of the letter.
Would the public be able to access that?
Oh, I'd like to honor the lady's request. I think we should. I mean, we're waiving, a lot of money here. And there has not been an adequate description, in my mind at least, as to how big Sylvan is or how small it is or what association it has with this other company. What are the assets of the other company? This board was criticized significantly, and I think, in 2013 for waiving penalties. And I'm not, as Mr. Fondo adequately described my position. I just don't willy-nilly, if you will. Don't use that word, Ted Height. I don't necessarily just agree to waive all penalties. I want to hear more. And if there's something that should be fully disclosed in that letter, and I haven't read the letter completely, but if the lady would like that letter to be read, I think it should be read.
I would like to add, Mr. Williams, is that correct?
Name is Ms. Wood.
All right. But who do you work for? Who do you represent? Or
I work for Acadian Land Services.
A what?
Acadian Land Services.
It's a brokerage firm in Lafayette, Acadian Land Services.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I'm just trying to understand your presence, and I don't have a problem with your request. I was just trying to understand the relationship.
There is no relationship. It just, I'm sitting here just listening, and it just doesn't seem right that board is not taking the recommendations of the mineral board. Because
my motion was to accept their recommendation.
We did make a motion on that, yes. He did make a motion on it, and it was seconded. So we're discussing right now. It was accepted. We didn't vote yet for the motion, but we were just discussing the motion. But we did accept.
Asking
it.
Me what my.
Yeah, I was just trying to understand for clarity what.
Why I wanted him to read it. I just want him to read it because I think that it's the public needs to know what the response would be. I just wanted to know what the letter says.
A concern.
He made valid points.
Yeah, I read the letter sitting here, and that there's a lot of issues that are pertinent.
There's a lot of reasons why it should. Some of these fees should be dismissed. There's a lot of complexity that goes into the state leases or releases and. All the title work that needs to go into it, it's a lot.
So, Madam Chair?
And if, yes,
Again, just so my own edification and clarification here, you are advocating a position of supporting the waiver of the fees?
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
100% waiver or the staff's recommendation?
I think the staff's recommendation. Absolutely.
Okay, because that was my motion.
Yes, and there was a motion. But, Mr. Fontenot, if you have a copy of that letter, I think it would be sufficient that you could give her a copy of that. I don't know that it's necessary that we read this. I mean, you know,
it's a two-page letter, but we'll be happy to make a copy, whatever. Whatever the pleasure of the board is, we can make her a copy.
Unless the pleasure of the board is that it be read, but I don't see a problem with you furnishing her with a copy and let it go with that.
Madam Chair. If it's your intent to make the public aware of the letter, it is public record.
It is.
It's in front of us, so the public
filed
has access
in Sunrise.
To it.
That's my intention.
I've got another question, Mr. Fontenot. Mr. Fontenot, you say that based on the board's criteria for subsequent infractions, explain to me how that falls within the criteria of the board to reduce it from 61,000 to 5,000.
The procedure or the way to process that, you take the percentage of the acreage that was released, 6/9. It was a 9-acre tract, 6 acres was released. So that's 2/3. You multiply the two-thirds times the $61,800. That's a little over $43,300. Then it says, or the bonus consideration, whichever is lesser. Let me see. It says, multiply that amount, that percentage, the two-thirds, 6/9, times the $61,800. Multiply that amount by the liquidated damage assessment, or the original lease bonus amount, whichever is less, to reduce further, is what the criteria states. So that's how we came up with it.
And what was the lease bonus amount?
The lease bonus was $5,508. Now, the acreage, by the way, the acreage was out of commerce for almost 2 years, a year and two-thirds. And that takes the acreage out of commerce for more than $5,580, which is a bonus consideration for 1 year. The criteria even favors the person with the infraction not to duplicate the $5,000 amount. It doesn't talk about per year for the bonus consideration. So it's being quite lenient in itself.
Any further discussion? I believe we do have a motion on the board. Mr. Arnold and Secretary Harris second that. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries. And unless it is the wishes of the majority of
I'd
the
like
board.
I'd like my vote to be recorded as a no.
All right. As far as reading it, is that what you're saying? As a no on this?
Oh no.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I thought you were talking about the penalty.
Okay, no. So we will have you furnished with a copy, ma'am, of that letter by Mr. Fontenot. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, can I say something, please? Emil.
All right, Emil.
I'd like to, and this may not have a lot to do with it, in light of our zero nominations for October, I'd like to suggest Mr. Landry and Mr. Theopoulos maybe next meeting come up and give us some, is there anything we can do to make that better? And it's too bad we have zero nominations, so maybe you've been around a long time. Y'all could make some suggestions. That's okay with everybody.
All right, Mr. Fontenot, seven.
Seven is a request from OMR staff for an extension of authority to negotiate the terms of an operating agreement on unleased state acreage until November the 8th, 2017, and that the unleased acreage, state acreage, be removed from commerce and unavailable for leasing until the November 8th, 2017 board meeting or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first. This acreage is situated in Section 29 and 30, Township 16 North, Range 11 West, in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, which was former state lease number 17732, which was released by JW Operating Company within the HARASU 127 and the Cotton Valley RASU 45 in the Elmwood Field, Bossier Parish, Louisiana. Staff is recommending the extension and removal of acreage from commerce.
Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Mr. Stone, motions. Do I have a second? Mr. Bradbury, second. Any discussion? Any questions from the public? All in favor of the motion? All opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 8 is a presentation by DNR legal staff summarizing legislation affecting the State Mineral and Energy Board, the Office of Mineral Resources, and their respective duties, responsibilities, and functions that were considered during the Louisiana Legislature's 2017 regular session and the first and second extraordinary sessions of 2017.
Thank you. Blake Hanfield, Executive Counsel for the Department of Natural Resources. I'll provide a quick summary of six items that were considered, all of them actually during the regular session, that affect the Office of Mineral Resources, the State Mineral Board, and their programs. The first is Act 329, which was filed as House Bill 49 by Representative Bishop. It actually increased the funding for the Office of Mineral Resources by up to $900,000 from judgments and settlements dealing with mineral income. The increased cap now allows the Office of Mineral Resources through the Mineral and Energy Operation Fund to collect up to $1.5 million in settlements and judgments. And this money is being used to fill vacancies within the office. Be happy to answer any questions you have on that bill. I plan to go through the list first, I guess, and save questions till the end, but if you would rather me to stop, just let me know. The second bill is Act 421, also by Representative Bishop, filed as House Bill 461. This actually created a reduced rate for severance tax on production from wells that were formerly orphaned or inactive. The wells classified as inactive for a period of 2 years prior to the production will be taxed at a 50% severance tax rate for a period of 10 years. Wells classified as orphaned, those are wells that have been abandoned and declared by the Commissioner of Conservation as meeting the definition of an orphan well. Those wells that have been orphaned for a period of 5 years prior to production are taxed at a rate of 25% of the normal severance tax rate for a period of 10 years. And finally, each year there is a $15 million annual cap, so essentially once more than $15 million is not being collected, then the Department of Revenue notifies the Commissioner of Conservation, who then stops certifying wells as qualifying under this program. This is relevant to the Office of Mineral Resources State Mineral Energy Board because in the current state lease, the calculation of royalties includes the deduction of taxes that are paid. So this would change that calculation.
Excuse me.
Madam Chair.
Is that 25% of 50% or 25% from 50%?
Yeah, no, I apologize. They're actually two separate rates. So the inactive well is 50% of the statutory or whatever the rate is in the lease. So used to speaking of royalties. The statutory severance tax rate. So it's 50% of the normal severance tax rate. For 10 years. And then the 25% is 25% of the severance tax rate on those wells that qualify for 10 years.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The next act is Act 186 by Senator Claytor. This actually was to further clarify Executive Order JBE 2016, Orders 2016-53, 57, and 66, all which dealt with suspension of prescriptive periods for the flooding event of 2016. Essentially, periods where this were suspended or extended for the those prescriptive periods which were suspended or extended for the period beginning August 12th and ending September 30th, 2016. So the clarification is if the prescriptive period or preemptive period would have run prior to September 30th of 2016, but for the suspension that was found in the governor's executive order, then that period will be deemed to have run upon the earlier of a specific date that's calculated in the civil code or September 30th. So September 30th is the backstop. And then the suspension and extension contained in these executive orders do not apply to any prescriptive period or preemptive period accruing on or after October 1st of 2017. Obviously, that can affect the liberty of prescription or any of the other periods that are found within the state lease. Act 361 by Senator LaFleur sets a new requirement for establishing escrow accounts and paying money out of escrow accounts that are held by the Department of Treasury. In order to establish an escrow account within the Department of Treasury, it now requires that the agency that's seeking the approval go and get approval by the Cash Management Review Board. This board now consists of the State Treasurer, Legislative Auditor, Commissioner of Administration, the Chair of the Senate Committee on Finance, and the Chair of the House Committee on Appropriations. And this is important because in some cases, suspense accounts or escrow accounts may have to be applied when we're not sure where to allocate money towards. If we've received payments and are not sure where they're due, then sometimes those have to be established. So this would just require an additional procedure. The finance office within the Department of Natural Resources is working with the Department of Treasury to make sure we iron out any details. In addition to the requirement to go and get these escrow accounts approved by the Cash Management Review Board, it also requires, before withdrawal or transfer of any of the amounts in the accounts, that that amount be included either in the budget for the fiscal year, or that you have a budget adjustment approved by the Commissioner Administration and the Joint Legislative Committee on the budget. The next act is Act 411, also by Representative Bishop. This changes the oilfield site restoration fees that go into the oilfield site restoration fund, commonly referred to as the OSR fund. The OSR fund is established to be used on plugging and abandoning wells that have been abandoned and declared orphaned by the Commissioner of Conservation. This act amended the statute that currently, or previous to this act, had allowed for the OSR fee to be reduced to the equivalent amount of however much severance tax was being paid on production from the well. So in other words, if you were paying 50% severance tax rate on the well that the fee was being paid off of, now you used to only pay 50% of the OSR fee. This act got rid of that, and so there is a standard fee for all wells with the exception of certain incapable wells and stripper wells. Last, there's a Senate Resolution 159 by Senator Allen. This requested that the Louisiana State Law Institute study and make recommendations regarding the treatment of royalties as rent in bankruptcy proceedings. I think Mr. Linto has a presentation later today where he'll get into more detail on this topic. But essentially, the classification of royalties as rent hurts the state's ability to recover in bankruptcy any unpaid amounts. The request specifically asks that the State Law Institute study the history and reasoning for the classification of mineral royalties as rent within the Mineral Code to consider whether the law should be revised and report its findings and recommendations no later than 60 days prior to the next session. So in sum, that's a quick rundown of the legislation from 2017. Be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Mr. Hollinshead?
I have one as it relates to Act 471.
Okay.
The one that reduces severance taxes. And I guess my question is also to the Assistant Secretary also. Would there be any benefit to this department to look at a reduced royalty rate for orphan and shut-in wells, something that mirrored this act? I don't need an answer now, but that is something.
That's good, because I don't have an answer for you right now. I have to look at it.
Any other questions?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Number nine?
Number nine is lease form compilation process and timeline of article groups, discussion of a new timeline schedule for review of the remaining articles of the proposed new lease form.
Mr. Blum. Okay, so as most of you know, the process that we had been doing in the past is the articles of the mineral lease had been separated out and given out to different folks to internally in our office and in the legal staff to draft, and then we come together and we talk about it, and we had begun the process of approving those and discussing those. When I started getting into the lease and started working on it, I saw that just for my sanity, I needed to get it into one document. I needed one mineral lease to deal with, you know, not in a vacuum with separate articles, because some people make references in one article that are different in another article, you know, and in order to make things work together, I needed to see it in one document. And that's not to say that, you know, the process that they went through in the past needed to be that way. You know, one person could not have done this, but there's been a lot of good work done, and we're at the point now where I think we can pull it all together and get something that really works. And so my intentions are is to go through the document, make sure everything is working together, make sure all the references work, make whatever little changes that we need to make, and internally with the staff to meet over the next couple of months and get a complete final draft to publish, probably sometime in October. And we would publish that, obviously, to industry and you guys, the board members. And what I would like to do is, in the months of October, November, and December, when hopefully business things kind of quiet down and we have a little space and some time, lawyers and board members, to meet and discuss the mineral lease, I would like to set up some work days for board members, some work days for industry folk and the public to come in and meet with us and kind of hash out what differences we may have and get the document over those months in a very near final form. That way, whenever we start the approval process in the board meetings in probably February, that we can have the debate over really, you know, small, not small issues, but a small number of issues and be efficient on it, and hopefully go through an approval process. We can get a usable document where we can start leasing on in the spring. So.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Fulton.
I've got some questions. I'll just wait for somebody else to ask a question. Well, you know, you and I talked about this over the phone, and my first concern was whether or not you would be proposing or someone on the board would be proposing a resolution which would change the procedure which was initially adopted. I don't see anyone that's prepared to do that. And my thought was, as I read your the recommendations and as a discussion, I was wondering whether or not the assistant secretary has the authority to change the process which has been adopted by the board without a resolution making such a change. That was my first thought. My second thought is that, yes, I think we do need someone to quarterback this thing. My third thought would be whether or not the articles that we have adopted in principle, whether or not you and your experience, and I understand what your thoughts are, whether or not you have ideas of changing those articles which have been approved in principle. And if so, I'd like to know, you know, what those changes are. And I'm talking about the articles that have been approved already. And, of course, I think what's most important is the fact that as the staff goes through the scrutiny, if you will, of the various clauses that are, or articles that are important, whether or not there's complete transparency. That is, I understand that staff is going to do, you know, their due diligence. We know that the industry is going to be at the table because that's what they're paid to do. I just want to make sure that the public is involved and the mineral board is involved, at least given the opportunity. And my thinking is that any and all private organizations that have anything to do with oil and gas, they are notified specifically, not just that it's put on, you know, not that it's just publicized, that the Louisiana Land Association would get an invitation, as well as the Louisiana Oil and Gas Association would get an invitation, or any other organizations that are affected by the adoption of this lease in one way or another. We on the board have seen that every time we take a step forward with regards to an adoption of an article, then all of a sudden industry comes back and tries to make another change and further delays the process and further changes the process. So in my mind, I think your idea is good because we need someone to push it forward. I just want to make sure that there's plenty of transparency. And also, Mr. Assistant Secretary, I think it's necessary that we either have a resolution or a motion to change the process which has already been adopted by the Mineral Board. I personally do not believe that you as a staff member and of course as Assistant Secretary, I don't mean this disparaging in any way, but I think when the Board acts and there's a suggested change, then the Board needs to adopt that in such a way that it either agrees with you or disagrees with you. And I think that's the proper procedure that should be taken. Those are my thoughts. You know, I know sometimes I'm a renegade, and I apologize for that. But that's what my thoughts are.
Okay.
Chair Bradbury. Is it your intent going into this to bring closure to this, to change any of the articles?
The ones that have already been approved?
Yes.
No, it's I'm not looking to revise those articles. What will happen though is that, and this was envisioned I think all along, is that whenever you bring all of those articles together, even the ones that have been approved, that there needs to be, the references need to work together. You know, they need to coalesce with one another. You know.
And so bear with my ignorance for clarification. Is it if there is an article change, and once you do bring it together and there are no changes, isn't it, does the Board have the opportunity to vote on your final?
Yes, the board will see whatever changes. So I will be the keeper of the document, so whatever changes that we see necessary to make it work as a whole document, you guys will see those changes. You know, they will be in a certain color whenever we publish it. You will know those changes versus the article that you approved in the past.
Okay, yes. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And all of this will be approved by the Board before it's published. Is that correct?
No, we would publish a draft of it in October, and then we would start a review process.
That's what I had understood. Okay.
Yes.
I have a comment. I just want to clarify, the situation we're in is that we laid out a course of action to approve the lease and taken in various, there were some revisions made and taken in various sections. After we did that for two or three meetings, of course we got a new Assistant Secretary, and I believe your intention was to just get up to speed with the lease and what we've done and where we're going. At this time, or at the last meeting, didn't we approve a suspension of our original plan to take those lease sections in certain sections per meeting and to agree upon them in principle, but they're still not finally agreed upon until the end, until we've gone through all of the lease sections, which at that time anything could be changed or not. But we're trying to move along in some organized fashion to tackle them in sections rather than the lease is a very 30 or 40 page lease. So we can adopt whatever the Board's pleasure is, but it seems at this point we're only in suspension until he and the Assistant Secretary has told us of his intentions on moving forward, but we're until October, shall we say, we're not really there yet in your definitive plan to proceed, right? I mean, I know what your intentions are, but before we make a change, let's let him get his least him up to speed and the things he would like to see, and then maybe we could tackle how we proceed at that point.
Yeah.
Officially. I mean, you're just telling us your intentions, but we haven't done anything official other than suspending the process that we were going through with before.
Yeah, and yeah, and Mr. Hike, I agree. I do not have authority to on my own to change the process, and that wasn't the intent. This was just a proposal, and so I don't remember exactly how that resolution read in the past. But if we need something a little more definite, to maybe just a suspension until October. So that we can get the lease out, or if we want something even more definite in line with what I talked about before, it's up to you guys. I'm okay with either one of those, but I agree that there needs to be something.
So motion should be made to suspend the schedule that we've been following to present date so that the staff can put together what their recommendations is and bring it back to the board sometime in October for a review. Is that in accordance with your thoughts?
Yes.
But I thought we did that. There was a motion made last month, it was seconded by Mr. Watkins, unanimous vote of the board, grant authority of Mr. Manuel to submit a new timeline schedule for the review of the remaining articles of the proposed new lease form for the board's approval at the August 9th meeting. So, yeah, buddy, you're not there yet, right, with a proposed timeline
in principle.
Yeah,
but
so we suspended it it looks like in the minutes with hopes that it in August we'd have a new timeline, but we don't. So what I'm saying is we have suspended it, but we just maybe we're in suspended animation. I don't know. But
do we need to grant an extension on suspension?
I think that would be okay.
What?
Yeah, that's fine.
Extension, how, another month with October or
no?
Well, the intention is to, and the plan is to get a complete lease to you and published by October, and then set work days in place after that in those coming months for board members and for industry. How that looks in a resolution, I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't know at this point.
So maybe we could suspend it until October, at which time he would do what this motion stated last month, that he would submit a timeline in October.
I'll second that motion.
That works.
I guess I made one. Right?
All right, very good. This is where a motion second, Mr. Hyde. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All opposed? Any public comments? Motion carries.
Let me ask you this: is it your intention between now and that publication to have, for lack of a better explanation, subcommittees, if you will, of staff members and board members that we may be able to attend to be able to express our opinions about the document that's going to be presumably published in October?
The document, I use the word published. It's just going to be the same thing as whenever the staff has previously brought drafts for approval to you. I mean, it's nothing. It's just what we came up with. You know, so internally we have to get to a point, just staff-wise, we have to be able to work on the document and get it somewhere. And then we put it out there for comment, approval, and whatnot, and for changes too. But the document that we intend to publish in October would be one that was done internally, that we worked on with me and the staff and the legal team and came up with, in line with a lot of the comments that have been given and discussions that we've all had throughout the time. And I would be open to discussions and, hey, what's going on with the document? What are you doing with this article? Completely open to that. And if meetings should be set where board members want to attend during that process, I'm okay with that too. I don't want it to look like we're just in closed doors and going to come out with something brand new that you guys are going to flip out about. That's not what I want.
Well, could I ask you to notify the board as to the areas that you'll be discussing whenever you have these various meetings? For instance, I might be interested in attending the discussion concerning deep rights or royalty or whatever. Can we be notified of that so we can attend?
Well, Mr. Hike, let me think about it, and I'll talk to you about that, because I don't know if that would just derail the internal process of us. Not that we don't want the commentary and the input, because we need it, it's required, and we want it. But if we are trying to draft a document, me, the staff, and the legal team, I think we kind of need to come up with something internally. But let me think about it. Let me think about it. I'm okay with the idea. I mean, if you want to attend, but
well, you know, I think that, I mean, if industry is going to attend, I want to be there.
Oh no,
I can tell you that.
Yeah, no. At this point in time, it's just the OMR staff. That's it. It's the same process that they came up with the articles before.
Madam Chair,
I just experienced a couple of meetings in the last 2 years about some of this, and I was glad I was there because, you know, industry looks at it differently from the state sometimes, and it's important that we have a certain amount of influence on this mineral lease and not leave it simply to industry. And I love industry. I got 5,000 people in New Iberia that work in the oil business right there at the Port of Iberia. So, you know, I love the oil and gas industry, but we have an obligation to make very sure that our state is not taken advantage of. And I take that very seriously.
As do I. The goal is, for me personally, is to create a document that serves the state in the best way. Sometimes that means listening to industry's comments and sometimes making those changes if they warrant it. But primarily, it's the state interest involved in creating this document, what's best for the state.
Mr. Bradbury.
I just want to say I support your efforts and the way you're approaching this. We as board members, I think, should be involved if indeed the state, you know, others come to the table and are involved in that process. But I think we ought to leave you alone and do your thing in the house with your staff, and we'll have the opportunity to interact when the time is appropriate.
I agree
Thank
with
you.
That.
Thank
Any
you.
Further comment from the public? The chair will now resume the meeting.
All right. Thank you, Ms. LeBlanc, for getting us to where we are. The docket report by Emil Fano.
Under Category A state agency leases, we have no items appearing on today's report. Category B state lease transfers. Request that items 1 through 4 be approved.